I guess it didn't create a little waiting room this time because
I figured out
right
that
in.
I figured out how to disable that. The last time I didn't see the button and I didn't push it. It's one of those things that it's the default, and if you don't see it, then it happens. So I saw it this time, so I disabled it.
Cool.
Good it's bit. Not like we have a lot of interlopers coming on this site. not yet.
Yeah, well, we were Zooming before Zooming was in style, so to speak.
Well, you know what? It's the dumbest thing in the world. I have been on the beginning of so many things. I used to order Amazon before anybody else. I ordered Starbucks in my house before anybody. And do you think I had the sense to buy the stock? No.
right.
Oh, boy. I'd be really rich. I'd be like traveling on a yacht somewhere, doing this from a yacht.
There you go.
Of course, I'd still be doing this, but anyway, and I would be not falling into the ditch of materialism.
Extremely rich, but not falling into the ditch of materialism. Exactly.
Right. Not going down with the ship.
Okay, we'll probably have Keith sometime soon, hopefully.
So Manohar, are you actually in the ashram where they're doing the celebration for Siddhameshwar Maharaj?
Sorry, John, say it again.
Yeah, I was saying, are you actually at the ashram where they are doing the celebrations for Siddhameshwar Maharaj? No? Oh, okay.
No, John. I'm just in Hyderabad, yeah.
Oh, okay. There's Rami.
Hi. Hi, sir.
Hello.
Yeah, we were worried about you. We wondered where you were. We thought maybe you overslept.
Yes. So, slept lately, like around 3 o'clock and yeah. Thanks, Kumar. Thanks for the reminder.
Oh, good.
Sorry to interrupt your flow, sir.
No, that's all good. We were just chit-chatting and about where you were and also talking about Sadhguru Sri Siddhameshwar Maharaj's birthday celebrations that were going on WhatsApp in the Sheikh and also in that other ashram there. And that they even had WhatsApp. On WhatsApp, they had Zoom so that you could listen in and hear the bhajan and the celebrations going on.
Yeah, I think Murali Raghav shared some meeting links, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, these images that are in the back were taken from the ashram today.
Oh, okay.
From the WhatsApp feed.
I tried once, John. I think the connection was not good, actually. So...
It was, yeah, it's not the best, that is true. And plus also for here, like I got the message that, oh, this is gonna happen. And I looked at my time and it's like 3 in the morning or whatever, or 2 in the morning. So the evening one, I think was like 9 a.m. this morning. And I listened to some of that, but it was kind of, like you said, it wasn't the best connection.
I'm buzzing there. Are there any recordings of Siddha Ramesh? I've never heard his voice. Is there any recordings of him?
I don't believe the recording devices were around in those times, because that was like the 20s and 30s, I think.
Oh, okay.
And then Nisargadatta Maharaj came around, I think in like the, I don't know exactly the time frame, but I don't think that Siddha Ramesh Maharaj had recording devices available at that time.
Oh, okay.
Because even in the early days of Nisargadatta Maharaj, there were no recording devices.
Yeah, yeah. Although, you know what? Oh, no, that was somebody else. Someone went to see Ramesh and sent me an audio tape, but that was later. You know, Ramesh Balsakar.
Right, right. Yeah, and there are a lot of tapes that on the WhatsApp they play of Nisargadatta Maharaj, but they're all in Marathi, of course, because that's his language. If you see them on YouTube, then they'll have a translation. There are a lot of like little mini videos of when visitors came, and then they'll have the translation there.
Yeah, I think I've seen some of those, yeah. The ones where he's throwing somebody out of the office.
Yes, yes.
Did that. More teachers should do that.
No, because he wasn't trying to, and just like Sri Ramakant Maharaj, he's not trying to make disciples. He could care less about, you know, the some of the gurus, they want like hundreds of disciples around them and, oh, look at my big following and all that. Nisargadatta could care less. He would say, listen, if you don't like what I'm saying, go.
Yeah.
Be gone. And because he knows himself in a real sense, there's no sense in trying to publicize and say, oh, I'm so great and look at all my followers. Just like Sri Ramakant Maharaj, who turned down interviews because, you know, people say, oh, we would like you to be on our radio. No, 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 no. Thank you. Everything's good. It's good, good. Yeah, when he went to the USA, it wasn't a big production show. We, actually, the devotees were the ones that tried to make a big production show by going to One Circle and these sort of things. But Maharaj is just, he's just coming to see his son. And if he can be of service, then of course, you know, this is good. But he's not looking for a following.
Yeah.
The true can't look for a following because you're all the, when you know yourself in a real sense, everybody is your own self. If there are questions and you can be helpful, wonderful. But even the being helpful isn't really being helpful because there's no one to help and no one helping.
Yeah.
One time Ranjit Maharaj, I was reading the satsang, and this Muslim fellow came to his satsang and had a lot of great questions, and he said, why haven't I never heard of you before? I've been here in Bombay now for 20 years. And Ranjit said, I don't advertise because I don't exist.
Exactly.
You know, like, you got to put a message out. It's not like a sign on your door.
Exactly.
You come here if you want nothing.
Yeah.
Well, and when I Am That was published, because Maurice Friedman published I Am That, then a lot of seekers came looking for this master, this guru, and Nisargadatta Maharaj was just like, listen, you can come, sit, and ask questions, or go if you like what I'm saying, good, if you don't, okay, bye-bye, good, it's fine. So, it wasn't... It's just space speaking with space about space. Nothingness speaking to nothingness about the apparent somethingness and all the somethings trying to figure out, like it was said, all the unborn children asking questions about their death and birth.
A friend of mine who was, he's traveled quite a bit for many, many years. And a friend of his went to see Nisargadatta Maharaj. And so he told me, he said, when his friend sat down, with Nisargadatta. Nisargadatta looked at her and just asked some weird question. Have you faced your own death yet? I mean, you know, don't waste time on all these other little things that you get.
Exactly.
Just get to the bottom of them right off the bat.
Yeah. And Sri Ramaka Maharaj says, I'm not here to solve your family problems or your financial problems or your medical problems or any of the sort of this thing. I'm just here to let you know who you are in a real sense. And that's it. Plant the seed of reality. Reality has nothing to do with your everyday mundane life. That's how Ramaka Maharaj would hammer that home when people would say, you know, oh, what do you think about whether I do this? And I know Nisargadatta Maharaj said the same when people would say, oh, should I go back to college or should I study in this or that? And it's just like, no, like you said, you should face your own death and see what that's mm-hmm. all about. Know yourself in a real sense. Because once you know yourself in a real sense, all these questions just disappear. Because they no longer make sense. And you see that the only way they made sense was through this filter of I am somebody in a world that is experiencing, that doesn't want to experience this, that does want to experience that. But when you know yourself in a real sense, it's like the game's over. You can't even pretend to be something other than yourself.
The beauty of the identity you are talking about, you know, what is in real sense? You know, it can't be described, you know. But yet, you know, nothing exists apart from that you are saying. That, you know.
Correct. You can know yourself as a sense of presence within the body-based illusion. Without the body-based illusion, then there's no knowing yourself as the sense of presence or as anything else, because there's nothing above you. There's nothing for you to know any, there, it doesn't, you can't. Within the body-based illusion, you can know yourself as a subtle sense of presence. Oh, so that I am that. But after the body-based illusion is no more, then there's nothing to know and no knower.
So, you know, like sometimes this thing occurs. Is all these attempts to know oneself, is it of just casting up the just wrong knowledge or moving one step closer to know oneself in real sense? Like maybe there were...
Well, you'll know yourself when all these illusory layers dissolve. There's nothing left except yourself. Like all the illusion is there, and that's kind of like Maharaj says, it keeps you away from yourself because you're having your attention on these illusory thoughts about an illusory world and about things that are seem to be happening that are not actually happening, and you lose yourself because again there's identification of I am somebody else in a world having experiences. You are not having experiences, you are formless. You are not in a world because you are formless. You are not, by any means or stretch of the imagination, doing anything because you are formless. Within this illusion, of experience based on the belief of being a body, there appears to be all of these things, illusion, experience, and then the knowingness that is arising of, I need to know myself, which...
Okay, it is on the false identification, okay. I see.
And knowing yourself in a real sense dissolves all of this immediately. As you remain with your selfless self, and you as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, the I am. Ramakanta Maharaj says, just be with you always. The just I without anything, that very, very subtle energy, that subtle power, that you are. And then everything else just dissolves. If I'm this formless presence in the body, the holder of this body, but I'm inside the body and I'm outside the body because I'm formless, so there's no separation. There's no way to divide. The only way to divide is with the concept of being in a body, and I'm not a body. Therefore, I'm formless. So then that transcends body, that transcends world, because if you're formless, Sri Ramakanta Maharaj uses the example of sky or space. The space doesn't know anything about anything. The sky doesn't know anything about anything. There is no beginning of sky. There is no end of sky. There's nothing. And you are more subtle than sky because you have the ability to perceive sky. So anything you perceive cannot be yourself. You're the formless perceiver perceiving the forms that are all illusion, and then trying to make something out of all that.
Okay, so when there is no doubt about oneself, then there is no question of what is what, why is the so-and-so happening.
Nope.
It's just silly.
You can still read books and enjoy. I love reading the different books of the masters and listening to the bhajans and listening to master on videos and, you know, chopping them up and making captions on videos and all these sort of things. Just being with your selfless self all the time. It's selfless self devotion, selfless self joy. But in the highest, truest sense, yes, it's only within the illusion. All of these activities, all of these things, all of this devotion is within the illusion. When you know yourself in a real sense, you can use this body as an instrument of devotion to your formless self that is not the body, that is formless, timeless, spaceless, without attributes. You can't have any attributes when there's nothing added or above. You are all there is, all there ever will be. And the time is within the illusion, created by the illusion of experience. I am a body in time experiencing. Because I've created an object in time, there's an object, this body, with which to measure time. And that's why Sri Ramakanta Maharaj says, first you're a little boy, little baby, then you're a child, then you're a young man, then you're a middle-aged man, then you're an old man, and that's the body. And you are having these various experiences of aging as the formlessness because of the illusion of body. You're timeless, ageless. So no matter what happens, even I'm watching this cool show right now, Dark, where they're doing all this crazy time traveling. I don't want to put spoilers because people might be watching and I don't want to.
But nice, no? Yeah.
Even this is within the bubble of illusion. Whether you travel 100 years back or 100 years forward, you cannot travel out of illusion because the illusion is appearing only because of the concept of being an object in time and space. And time and space appear within you. So whether it be true or not true that you can time travel 100 years or go back 100 years and and be best friends with your great-great-grandpa, that's all within the illusion.
So the best attempt one can do in this illusionary form is trying to see who is in one real sense. What are the doubt comes? Like, who is the one experiencing this, or who am I in real sense? That is the only valid question, or maybe that is the one, the best question one asks, or the best effort one can put.
Well, that's using intellect then to know yourself. If you're remaining with mantra, you're remaining with your selfless self. You start to feel that subtle feeling, just I. As Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you remain with the I am and it takes you in.
See,
you
be
with you always. I am is just presence. Just I. The sense of existence. Nisargadatta Maharaj and Sri Ramakant Maharaj have described it as when you first wake up in the morning, that kind of fuzzy feeling where you know existence, but you know nothing other than just that sense of existence. Oh, just I. Before the attributes come of, I am waking up. Let me go get my coffee. Let me go take a shower. Oh, I have to go to work. I have this job. I have bills to pay. I have blah, blah, blah. All these are illusory layers on your spontaneous presence. The presence is just I. I am. I exist. Nothing other. Go ahead.
So this I-amness, you know, whatever you're referring, it's just a space, you know. When the mantra is being repeated, one is like when the, you know, thoughts are, you know, when there is no longer being identifying with the movement of thought, then there is, you know, that space, or, you know,
there is just I. Very subtle, the power, the energy, you feel it. And you want to dive into that, because then that's like the selfless self-intoxication. I want nothing other than myself. You like take a, like a bird in a bird bath. If you ever see a bird, he comes in the bird bath and he switches and splashes and he's so happy. This is how you are in your beingness.
Good. So, but it's sometimes some of us are like, when we are in day-to-day activities, it's we lost in, you know, thought, or in that, body pressure, like there will be suffering, there will be a constant pressure of seeking something.
There won't be. With, again, not to interrupt you, but mantra, and I've experienced this, when you're constantly involved with mantra, you're not having suffering. You're not having experiences of your day. You may actually kind of see yourself all of a sudden, oh my God, it's nighttime, and I have had no experiences today. I've been busy with mantra. And now that's the mind sitting there trying to take ownership of this spiritual body. So you bow to Master. Thank you, Master. I had no experiences today, just like you said. All I'm doing, the only thing I'm doing, is remaining with my selfless self as you taught, as you said. Jai Sadhguru.
No need to ask intellectually also to create this face or to experience this. Just beingness.
No? Just I. Intellect, if you start to try and figure it out, then you're cranking up the machine of mind. Mind, ego, and intellect came along with the body. Intellect starts to come in. Immediately, the ego starts to possess this intellect of, I am knowing this. That's why I said to discard this. You go through your whole day, just mantra. You've been at work, and you don't even know that you're working. And you go to lunch, and you're eating, and you remain with your selfless self. And then at the end of the day, you sit there, and it dawns on you, my God, today, the entire day, I remain with my selfless self, complete. There was no experience, no experiencer, although many activities of the body were seen. And now you eliminate this spiritual ego. Thank you, Master. What I did only was full faith and trust in the Master. I did nothing. I am simply at the master's feet. The master's teachings are permeating throughout my being and erasing the illusion slowly, silently, and permanently. And it's not my doing. Master said, if you do this mantra and you remain with your selfless self, this will happen. Now, if this is not happening, then I'm doubting my master, and then I need to say, oh, master, there seems to be some doubt in me that I'm not having this experience as you spoke about, and even the experience should be non-experience, so I'm going to remain with my selfless self, as you said, and I'm not going to try to intellectualize in any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to go back and invite the attention of the invisible listener. Because, Master, I absolutely know that when you spoke, you were speaking from that place that all of us are. That you know this, but I have yet to experience it directly. And yet you told me this is the reality. Therefore, I trust and full faith in the Master. I remain at the Master's feet with the teachings. I remain with my selfless self because it's kind of my fault that I'm holding on to the I that I believe is going to have the experience when you told me there's no experience, no experiencer, and I'm still having experience. Even when you have the experience of non-experience, as we talked about just previously, you're having mantra and you remain with yourself as self throughout the whole day, you have the experience of having no experience. You give that back to the master. Thank you, master. I did nothing. It was just remaining with your words that are manifesting in my beingness. And I'm just knowing this from you.
You simplified it like anything. So it seems to me if I objectify myself, or if, say I objectify love or objectify anything, or if I objectify myself, I'm objectifying a subject. So that's, but it's, no matter what I objectify, it's false.
Right.
It's that's not what it is. What I
what thought thinks it is just can't be what it is.
Correct. Yeah, you're not an object. When you start to believe you're an object, then you see other objects. If you know yourself as formless, then these are appearances that are appearing and disappearing within the formlessness that you are. And then none of them, or all of them, are you.
They all are me in the sense that presence is all there is.
Correct. My presence is in every being.
It's like, it does, that's at that point, oneness actually makes sense in a sense.
Well, oneness then brings, and that's why Siddhar Mesra Maharaj, I believe, says, when you say one, then naturally there's two, yeah. Because there's you and the one that counts the one. So you're counting, so therefore there's, and then you have duality and more and more and more.
But if so, it's all you, if it's all you, then it's not dual.
It's zero. Because there's nothing. Everything is just appearances. That's why the dream is such a beautiful example. If you can dive very deep into the dream and know it's the same. And when this body can no longer sustain the essence and create the illusion of experience and the seeing of a world that is not there, then you will no longer have the body-based experience. However, you that did not have a body-based experience prior to having a body-based experience, after the body, will have no experience. But all of the experiencing was absolutely illusion. It never happened. It never was, because you're formless. So even this thought, I am dying, who's dying? Like one of your dream characters holding on desperately. Oh, please, Keith, don't wake up. If you wake up, what will become of me? Well, what does that mean? This one that's crying that Keith can't wake up never was, even though appears at the time that they're in this dream base and having these experiences and maybe even having a life. But Keith wakes up, they're gone. What happens to them? Who knows? And like Maharaj says, do these dream people, do they go to heaven or hell? Were the good deeds and bad deeds, where was their karma? How did, when you laid down at sleep and created this dream world, did each one of these little dream characters have assigned to them some kind of previous life karma that had to be worked out in your dream? This is very silly.
Sometimes, occasionally, I get a strong sense of oneness, but I still haven't got to the point where I see that nothing is happening. I still haven't quite experienced that or like seen the reality of that yet.
Well, things are happening on the screen, but you're not interested. You're not. You can't say nothing's happening. Like you walk outside. And you might see people walking their dog, and you can't say, oh, there's no one walking their dog. No, this is occurring within the illusion. And the illusion of experience is because of the body-based kind of attachment, like Maharaj says, long attachment with the body. But now you know yourself as formless. So even the happenings that appear to be happening are not happening because you're formless. So all of this is just like a cinema screen. Different actors are outside walking their dog, and oh, look at that. There's some dog walking occurring. There's no one walking their dog.
It's not happening to them or to me. It's just
an appearance. Yeah. And as you remain with your selfless self, just I, there will be scenes coming and going before you in a series of successions, and suddenly you'll see, oh, time for sleep. Okay, wake up. Oh, here we are. More scenes going, scenes coming. But you know yourself as formless. All these scenes are appearing and disappearing within the illusion, including then the final curtain of when they say, oh, you know what, John? You're not going to make it through the night. Well, then that's the final waking up. The last scene is shown within the illusion. and there won't be any little mini illusions called dream of nighttime, because the one main illusion, I am a body in a world, has dissolved, because this form-based material can no longer sustain the essence and the illusion of it I am experiencing.
So that is the most beautiful moment, na, sir.
I mean, you know yourself, and it's now. Like, even now, it would be the same. You know yourself as formless. There's just, except for the fact that you're having experience or the appearance of experience because of the belief in being a body. Even when you know yourself as not being a body, the body is going through. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says, I leave that destiny, so to speak, to the body. Okay, the body is going to be doing things and going through itself, but I'm not that. I'm not that at all. I'm not that body that's going through experiences.
So the one you are saying now, that is also death. So that's, you know, the death of the illusion, I know, illusionary personality. So is it equivalent to the same as that physical death?
You're dead right now. If you want to call it dead, because when you don't know yourself as anything other, and there's nothing, what's going to die? Like in the case of sitting, and you know yourself as formless, there's no mind flow telling you that there's anything going on. There's appearances and different things, and there's nothing to know. Like when you lay down at sleep, you don't know that, oh, I'm suddenly sleeping. It's just, so you could say that you experience death every night because you lay down and you forget yourself. Well, you may, within this body-based experience, maybe you're having a heart attack. And that's okay, this body is having a heart attack. And so you're going to feel this, of course. But you know yourself in a real sense. You just remain with your selfless self. If the body's failing, it's failing. It's not nothing to do with you. The disappearance of the I exist, the I am. The appearance of the I am, now the disappearance of the I am. And there's nowhere that you can go, or nothing's leaving, because you're this right now. Everything, all of this. This space is the aliveness that you are. You're formless. So all of this, where, okay, the body can no longer sustain the essence, but the essence doesn't leave at all. And the essence is still within all these other different various forms. There's no coming or going. There's no leaving. There's no nothing. This concept of death doesn't make sense. You don't know I am dying. That, how? What is it in you that will die?
I mean, okay, there is no longer seeing the world or experiencing this understanding through particular body. No? So now through that, like the speaker body, the John Richards is able to try to convey the essence. That existence no longer will be there when the physical death happens.
The holder of the body will no longer be holding this body, but this body is an appearance within the formlessness that you are.
Within the holder, okay.
And you will no longer be having the illusion of body-based existence, but there will be nothing on the other side of that to know this, that you're...
So that other side is like a black hole, you are saying. So
you are, again, the best example of trying to explain in words is dream. You wake up, the whole dream world disappears, but those people didn't die. It wasn't like apocalypse. Every time you wake up, that the dream world has an apocalypse. You understand? So it's the same. When this body is no longer having this long, it's the same consciousness in dream, same consciousness in waking state. And both are just projections. All of these so-called people are just projections, just like the dream. And there's no, like, everyone you meet in your dream is your own self. And if you were able to dream for extended periods, let's say we put you out and you were dreaming for an entire month and you dreamed a bunch of lifetimes for all these little dream people, but they're not progressing. They're not going anywhere. They're never going to leave your dream. They're never going to have any existence outside of this dream. Within the dream, there's the appearance of existence, but there is no existence outside of the dream. Even if you've dreamt for a whole month and you've dreamt in dream years, several generations, and all the activities have happened, and people are having children and going to different people and going to college and having this and having that, but it's all within the dream. Nothing has existed outside of this dream consciousness. And again, the same consciousness that is creating and projecting the dream world is creating and projecting the so-called waking world. There is no existence outside of this dream.
I remember one time I mentioned on these that I had the experience that I couldn't really tell the difference between my dream state and my waking state. They seemed to be equivalent. And then I was thinking about, well, if you have a reflection in a mirror, and you have, there has to be a being to reflect, to be reflected, but once the reflection is there, the reflection is there equivalently with the being that's being reflected. So they're both in presence as being. It's not like the reflection is any less illusion or being than the being. But so you could say either that they both exist because they're all in presence. Or you could say only presence exists and they don't really exist at all, because if a form actually, and then I was just thinking that the fact everybody knows everything changes, actually changes, the fact that change is present in everything in some manner is proof of formlessness, that everything is actually formless in a sense. Of course, that might be too conceptual, but change is not something you can understand with the mind. It's just something you can, it just is. But it's not, it is and it isn't at the same time. You could say everything has changed, but you're not really saying anything.
Again, in order to have change, you'd have to have an object in time with other objects as a point of this object, those objects. We're progressing in some sort of timeline. These objects are deteriorating and all this sort of stuff. So you'd have to see yourself as an object. When you're formless, again, like Nisargadatta Maharaj, Ramakant Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space. Because there's no changes in sky or space.
Changes.
Yes, they're a surface. You can have a storm. You can have clouds, but even, I think Siddharameshwara Maharaj has said, the sun doesn't know night.
change loses its meaning.
Yeah, the sun doesn't know night, nor does it know day. It just is.
That's why they say that nothing has happened, nothing is happening, nothing is going to happen.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's just...
All the experience of anything is occurring within the long dream of I am a body. You're formless. There's no activities, no actions, no anything outside. And that's why everything you know, everything you've ever learned, everything you've ever done, and every place you've ever been is within the bubble of illusion.
But I still have to deal with stuff, though.
Yes, within the bubble of illusion, but you remain with yourself as self, and they're just scenes coming and going. If you need thought, you can use the mind as like a calculator or something, you know, or a planner or something. Okay, this needs to be done. Or if you're, like we were talking about Starbucks, if you're waiting in line, you say, oh, I'd like a double latte, please, with an extra shot of espresso. This is sort of using mind, but it's not mind in an identification. You're not asking, okay, how does John order Starbucks? Because I want to make sure that I'm doing it right, the way John does it. No, it's spontaneous because you're one with that. You're one with that action. Okay, I'd like a double latte with a little espresso shot. And they say, okay, well, we don't have this latte today. We only have this. Okay, we have this. But these, there's nothing that's going to impress on you.
The problem is I'll tend to think that the goodness is in the latte. But as soon as the goodness is in the latte, then it can be good or bad. So actually, if I see it as illusion, then I won't see the latte specifically as something that is good or bad, or can be good or bad. It's just something that I don't know. Something that the body does, I guess.
If you really want to dive into these things, the most quickest way to remain with your selfless self is when the lady says, we don't have latte today, so sorry, our latte machine is broken, you have to have this. You can sort of within your own self say, aha, okay, master, this is an opportunity to remain with my selfless self, because this is illusion. To get upset about an illusion that I'm not getting my coffee that I desire is a silliness. This is an opportunity to remain with my selfless self. And as you get whatever it is and you walk outside, again, bow to the master. Thank you, master. Because the more you do this, the more you know that everything you're seeing, everything you're doing is within the bubble of illusion and is created for your own benefit, as if you asked for it, so that you could remain with your selfless self, so that you could prove to the master, I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. I absolutely have complete faith and trust in the master. So when I'm in traffic, the traffic has been put there by Sri Ramakant Maharaj within the illusion, so that you can remain with complete faith and trust in the master, and remain with your selfless self.
Mm-hmm.
This way, all these so-called challenges and so-called upsets become opportunities, doorways, that you say, oh, thank you, master. This was very good. Especially if it's something very upsetting. Let's say you get a bill that you don't believe you owe any money, and they say, well, we've already contacted you 3 times. We're going to sue you. And you're like, oh, this is terrible. But you remain with your selfless self. Okay, master. I know it's illusion. I remain with my selfless self. I am at your feet. Then the next thing you know, there's spontaneous action calling the people, hey, I don't think this is right. And, you know, the funny thing is, whenever you call with a lot of emotion and things like this, the other person on the other end of the line is completely not identifying with anything. So it's obvious you're, like, all this nervousness and all this.
You're doing it to yourself.
Exactly. But now understand that this is there for your benefit. Everything that's happening. Because the entire world appears on your spontaneous presence. Master says this. Now you're experiencing this. This is something that I do not like. Well, this is an opportunity to remain with my selfless self. And then bow to the master. Don't let ego possess your spiritual body as, my God, I am really progressing in this spiritual thing. I'll be a jnani by the end of the year. No. Bow actually, to the master.
Actually, they
thank them.
They do kind of teach a similar thing in AA, that it's not obstacles are an opportunity to grow, they say, and stuff.
Absolutely. There's no such thing as obstacles or challenges because it's a dream. It's just this silliness that you identify with, this is happening to me, that creates all these disturbances, and then you disturb the peace that you are. Instead, know that this is the opportunity. Just like, again, and I remember talking to a devotee when we were in India. I said, understand, and this is kind of a weird understanding, only after the food poisoning did I really get this, that this ashram is like a little microcosm of you've been given a mantra and now things, it's like a video game. Things are going to appear. Like he was having trouble with the fans. It was too hot. And then mosquitoes, and he didn't like the mosquitoes. He didn't like the little salamander thingies on the wall and all this sort of stuff. I said, but understand that all of this has been put there so you'll remain with your selfless self. You've been given the mantra. That's the key. It's like when you're in a video game and you go along and you hit some gold coins or whatever and it adds to your treasure chest. This is the same. This ashram experience is you're given the mantra. Now these various experiences are going to come up. That's the game. The game is remain with your selfless self. No matter what seems to be appearing, it's not happening. Know you that it's happening too.
And I think that the reason why this teaching is giving me more progress than I've had in my spiritual attempts at training throughout the years is it keeps it very focused on what the matter is. It's very focused.
Oh, and speaking of time and passing, it's 8:15.
All right.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Have a good night.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Likewise. Thank you. And have a good week ahead.
Jai Sadhguru.